Let's get into our study this evening, talking about what every Christian ought to know. This is part 7, and tonight we're going to finish up on faith. We've been talking about faith, what it is, what it is not, how to have it, how to have more of it. It takes faith to please God, Hebrews 11:6. It takes faith for salvation, Romans 5:1. You have the fullness of the Spirit, Galatians 5:3-14. You have victory over the world, 1 John 5:4. Victory over Satan, Ephesians 6:16. And of course, you're sanctified in the Spirit, Jesus said, Acts 26:18. And Mark 9:23, Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. Now, we need to do a quick word study so that we understand faith and belief. So we said faith was belief, right? We defined faith as belief. And we talked about what sends you to hell is unbelief, right? So you have faith, belief, unbelief. Okay, now I want to give you a quick Greek lesson because this is important for you to understand, especially biblically and modernly. The Greek, in this passage, the word believe comes from the Greek, which is translated pistuo, and it's always translated as believe or a belief or believing or believe, some form of that word, but it means to accept something to be true and to have confidence in or to have faith. That's believe. That's the word believe, pistuo. To accept something to be true, to have confidence in, or to have faith. That's the word believe. And then in Hebrews 11:1, when we talk about the definition of faith, biblically, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things that's not yet seen. Now that word faith there actually comes from the root word pistis. And that's where belief comes from, pistuo. It's from the same root word. And so the word faith comes from the Greek word pistis. And it means to believe to the extent of trust, to have confidence in, which is very similar to believe. Now, I want you to understand, on one hand, there's no difference between faith and belief. The two terms are used interchangeably in the scriptures. The book of John never uses the word faith, but it uses the word belief or believe in the same context as faith. In John chapter 20, verse 31, John says all these things that Jesus did, there's so much more that he did, but those aren't written down. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So on the other hand, when we talk about this way, belief and faith are interchangeable. They're both the same. But on the other hand, in modern English use of the word, you have the word faith oftentimes has a deeper meaning than belief. Belief often refers to an intellectual acceptance of facts. In modern usage, a belief has the idea of an intellectual acceptance of facts. Faith, in modern usage, has the idea of some type of trust or commitment. And so in modern terms, those things are a little different than they are in biblical terms. Most people believe if you eat healthy and exercise, that that's good for you, right? That's a belief. But how many people actually have faith and do it? Okay, so that's my point. Belief is different than faith in modern. You believe that diet and exercise helps, right? But a lot of people don't diet and exercise. This is the whole point of what he's trying to say. The belief that something is true is good, but it's more than that. When we talk about the biblical sense, you have to have more than just some belief or acceptance of certain facts to be true. And so in the same way people can believe certain facts about God, And everything that they believe may align with what the Bible says. And they may be orthodox. They may be 100% online. They may be true. However, if they're not committed to those facts, they have not trusted, they don't literally have biblical faith or biblical belief in God, then what good does it do them? Right? I mean, so the modern usage of the word biblical faith or biblical belief, you're not just agreeing with what the Bible says. That's actually confession, and I know the Bible says that, but you have to have a commitment. Biblical faith is trust and commitment that result in a change of behavior. Biblical faith is trust and commitment that result in a change of behavior. In James 2:19, you believe there's God, there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. They fear and tremble. Okay, you believe? You believe the same way the demons do. The demons, the devil, Satan, know much more about God than we do. Matter of fact, Satan has been in his presence. Doesn't mean Satan doesn't believe in him. He knows there's a God. He knows Jesus. The demon in Acts, I think it was 19, the seven sons of Sceva, where they were trying to cast that demon out in Jesus' name. And he goes, Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of, but who the heck are you? They know Jesus. They know God. They know him better than we do. But it doesn't mean they're committed to him. That's the difference. And this is why it's all important that I say, just because you have an intellectual belief in knowledge of facts, it's different than faith, which is putting your trust into that. And so the difference is not between two words, but the concepts. One is a mental acceptance. The other is a wholehearted commitment. In the modern use, belief often refers to a mental agreement, and faith refers to a wholehearted commitment. Now, as long as the distinction is made, it doesn't matter how you use those terms. But that's why I say define your terms. Make sure you have crystal clear communication when you're talking to somebody about this. Make sure you understand where you talk about salvation, right? Make sure people are understanding what you're telling them. It's vitally important. Just believing in Jesus and say this prayer and you're good. That's scary. To me, that's scary. You just say this prayer and you're good. Well, how do I know they actually are committed to that? I mean, at the end of the day, you can't. And for kids and so forth, make sure you're giving them the opportunity to pray. Use that sinner's prayer. Make sure you give every opportunity. But what we do is we fail to get them to understand that it's not just a prayer. You've just made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And now you take your life to fulfill that. It's the ABCs. That's why it's not just A, admit you're a sinner, right? Romans 3:23. B, believe on the Lord Jesus. But there's the C, not confess, it's commit. Commit your life to Christ. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to Jesus. One of two. Which one do you want it to be? Slave to sin leads to death. Slave to Jesus, okay, serve him. You're committed to him. That's the salvation prayer. And so I just want you to know the difference between modern and biblical. So if we're talking about belief or faith biblically, it's a little different than what we think of today. And make sure you have your terms down. Make sure you understand the definitions and you're giving crystal clear explanation because some people will misconstrue what you're saying. And there's a lot of false cults out there that know the same jargon that you say and they say the same jargon. To a Jehovah's Witness and you tell him salvation is faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross, they'll tell you, yep, I believe that. And people go, oh, okay, well, Jehovah's Witnesses are Christians then because they believe the same thing you do. No, they don't, because they believe Jesus is not God. He's Michael the archangel, come down, indwelt Mary into flesh, become Jesus. And then when he died, he went back to being Michael and went back to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not the truth. And so you got to be careful. You got to make sure you define your terms and you're giving crystal clear communication. Let's get in. I got three things for you tonight. We talk about faith, having faith, building faith, and growing your faith, having bigger faith, rooted faith, strong faith, whatever you want to call. I have three things: the root, the reality, and the result. So let's get into the root. Let's get into the root of faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, Paul's talking about giving the gospel. Matter of fact, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And so he's talking about salvation. Then he goes on in verse 13, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14 and 15, he says, well, how then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? Now, God gives every man general revelation. You have two things that make you inexcusable. What are they? Creation, and what's the other? Conscience. Creation and conscience make you inexcusable before God of not knowing him. Now, the problem we have is that you need to know about Jesus. And that's why we have the Bible. That's why God kept his word, and that's why we have the New Testament documented, because you need to know who Jesus is. Jesus is God that did die for you, and it's only salvation in his name. You have a general revelation, and if you want to know that God by creation and conscience, he'll send you somebody. That's why we have missionaries. That's why God puts it on people's heart to go certain places, because there's somebody that needs to hear the gospel. And so, but how are you going to have unless preaching? Now, here's the idea. We talk about salvation, people hearing. How can they hear unless they hear? What are they hearing? They're hearing the gospel from God's word. And in verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God or through the word of Christ, either or. So our faith comes from hearing the word of God or the word of Christ, and you can't have faith unless God speaks. God speaks, gives you faith. What did Abraham believe in? In Genesis 14, 15, what does it say? And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's the same thing. What did he put his trust in? The Bible wasn't written by that time. Matter of fact, Genesis wasn't written until hundreds of years later. Based off of how did God speak to him? Say again.
Did he speak to him audibly ever?
Yes. Spoke to him in dreams. Spoke to him audibly. And so whatever God reveals to someone, that's what they're accountable for. So what God spoke to Abraham, he was accountable for. And that's what he put his trust in. He just believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But he was committed to him. That was the issue. He was committed to him. But God spoke to him, and he responded. And that's what we do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God will speak to you through his word. That's why it's either the spoken word or the written word. It doesn't matter. God's word will not return void. It'll go out, and it'll perform what it's supposed to. That's why we talk about female preachers and stuff, and you're like, oh, yeah, they're female preachers. Oh, they can't be preaching the word of God. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. If two unsaved people are listening to a female preacher and they give them the gospel and they get saved, those people are saved. Because God's word will not return void. It'll go out for what it was purposed for. Now, hopefully they'll study the word of God and figure out that they probably shouldn't sit under that. But that's on them. So faith comes by hearing the word of God, and God speaks to us through that. There's two ways God speaks to us through his word. There are two words in the Greek language for word. One is logos, and the other is rhema. The word logos is a written word or a general revelation. And we could say that God's word is his logos. It's his general revelation about the living word, who is God. That's how we get to know God, is by his word, by his general revelation. And so the other word, rhema, is a specific utterance or a specific statement or something spoken. And so you take the word of God, which is logos, the Bible, and you read a specific verse or a specific utterance, and then God begins to speak through you, to you through that. Excuse me. So when you have the idea, you're giving the gospel, whether it's audibly, trust in Jesus, right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus died for your sins, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict somebody of sin, not ours. We just give him God's word, and it'll return not void, but it'll perform its function. And the Holy Spirit will convict the person of sin, John 16. And so when we give what we're supposed to, God's word, and the Holy Spirit will do their part. But God will speak to people. God will speak to people through his word, whether it's written or whether it's audible. That's why we hear messages. That's why we hear devotions. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we do all those things, because that is how you hear from God, through his word. And the root of what begins your faith is the word of God. The root of what grows your faith is the word of God. And that's coupled with this second thing. You got to be saturated with the word of God. You hear me say that? I'll never stop saying it. You've got to be saturated with the word of God, because that's how God speaks to you through circumstances. And so when you think about certain things like, well, there's nothing in God's word that tells me what house to buy and what market to go to and what car to buy and what insurance I'm supposed to go through and what, and there's nothing, there's thousands of things that aren't found in the Bible. And what am I supposed to do? Well, Romans 12 says that you're to be renewed in your mind by the word of God. And when you're renewed in your mind, you'll have the answer you're looking for. And that's the beauty of it. So for some people, and God allows the rich, the poor, the lame, the blind, all of those things. So for the rich person who can afford something a little bigger, well, maybe God has a purpose for them to haul things for people, or to do things for people, or to take people places, and so they need a bigger car. Okay, that's on them. And so by the renewing of their mind, they'll understand that. For people that don't have much money, you probably ought to pay cash for a car and do the best you can to keep up on it, because you probably can't afford a big payment. So you're going to be renewed in your mind of what God wants you to do if you're in tune with that. That's what I mean, be saturated with the word of God. He'll give you crystal clear direction. And that's where we have the peace of the Holy Spirit. So number one, the root is always the word of God. Always go to the word of God. If you can't find it there, then you go to God in prayer. Right? Number two, the reality. Here's the idea. The reality of our faith is this. It's only as strong as the object of your faith. Somebody said this. They said, weak faith in the right object is better than misplaced faith in the wrong object. You're only as strong as the object of your faith. How big is your God? What can he do? In order to grow your faith, you have to have confidence in God. You have to find who God is. You have to understand who God is and learn about him. Put your trust in his word. Remember, we talked, that's the very first thing. You have to trust the word of God. It's either truth or it's not. And you learn by reading God's word about who God is. His power. God's immutable. He never changes. His power doesn't increase, nor does his power decrease. He'll never lose any of his power. He'll never be more powerful, but he'll never be less powerful. He never changes. He's all powerful. So when you get to know God and you're like, Ephesians 3 says, my God can do far more abundantly than what we think or expect. You got a powerful God. Your faith is only as big as the object of your faith. And if you don't know how big and powerful our God is, you won't have big faith in your God. Does that make sense? I hope so. When you trust the word of God, you trust God, you put your trust in him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You get to know God, who is the object of your faith, and you see how God came through for people throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, did big and powerful things, and God got the glory. And you're like, wow, God can do anything. So the object of our faith needs to be understood. And that's where Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And so that's what we do. The object of your faith is only as big as how you understand. Have you ever went over a rope bridge with the little boards over a open? You ever trust that thing and be like, I ain't walking across that? So that may be a bad illustration, but that takes faith to walk across that. You know what I mean? I was up there helping Dave put some stuff on there, and there's these boards that run down across there, and I stepped on one that wasn't tight enough. I mean, it teetered and it slapped, and I got all puckered, and I thought I was going through the roof, man. It was scary. and then I'm going, because I ain't trusting this no more. These boards ain't going to flip on me. And you do. But the idea is that the object of your faith, you have to understand the object of your faith. When I drive over this bridge, I have absolutely no problem knowing that that's going to hold me. Concrete, steel beams, no problem. No problem whatsoever. I get a little rickety old bridge, and I got ropes, and I got to step on those boards, and my legs start to shake, and you can't take a step, and it's crazy. But the object of your faith, man, you've got to, that's the reality. You got to get to know God. You got to get to know how big and powerful God really is. Romans 9:33, Paul says, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. We need to have strong faith, and that's how it grows. We're growing in knowledge by the word. Knowledge, you are learning about God. When you apply his word, then you experience God's power. There's different. The Bible, you're learning about God, and as you put his word into practice and you trust him, you learn about God, or you experience God. Two different things, but kind of tied together. Don't make yourself try to believe. Get to know God through his word. Trust him. In Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You truly want to get to know God, he'll show you who he is. And when you get to know him, man, you just trust him. And every time you put him to the test, you'll find out, yep, he's always come through. Might not have been the way I wanted the circumstances to work out, but he's always helped me through it. He's always been right there for me. And that grows your faith more and more. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God, they shall stand firm and take action. I like that. Somebody said that faith is belief with legs on it. Faith is belief with legs on it. It's going to get up and do something. If you truly believe in God and you begin to grow and you know how big God is and you know he wants you to do something, you're going to step out by faith and go do it. Because you know he's going to accomplish whatever he wants through you. Your faith is no better than the object of your faith. You have to get to know God. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You begin to grow in knowledge and grace of who he is. And your object of your faith becomes really big to you. So your faith becomes really strong. Jesus said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you'd be able to tell this mountain to get up and go throw yourself into the sea. And it'll be done. And why can't we move mountains? Because of unbelief. But Noah, 120 years to build an ark, and Peter says that he was a preacher of righteousness, and not one person got saved. Can you imagine that? Imagine preaching for 120 years and not one person gets saved. That, could you imagine building a boat that you've never seen rain for? That's faith right there. Yes, well, that too. Yeah, I'm sorry. But yeah, 120 years, build a boat. I've never seen rain, but God's going to cause it to rain. What's that? You're an idiot. Leave us alone, you crazy guy. But then when the rain comes, they're like, oh, this is really flooding the earth. Oh, man, water's... hey, let us in. Let us in. Yeah, that's pretty sad.
I was trying to think about all those people when it finally started to rain.
Yeah. It's kind of sad because a lot of those people that don't believe, they may have an understanding of the facts, but they don't have a commitment to it. The same people in Revelation, it talks about how they know God is punishing them. They know it's God doing the work. The Bible says in Revelation, they know God is doing this. They know God is doing that. They know God is doing this. And it says they do not repent of their deeds. They don't want to repent. They know God. God's doing this to us. But they don't want to repent and turn to him. That's sad. Very sad. But the opportunity is there. God's a God of second chances and third and fourth. But faith and unbelief. And man, that's what he says. Just don't. In Romans 14:23, he says, whatever is not of faith is sin. But he talks about having doubts. And that's what he's talking about in Romans 14. If you think something is okay, then do it. If you know for sure, have faith, give God glory by doing it. But if you have any question, don't do it. That's what he's saying. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Make sure you're 100%. And sometimes we're not. We're like, everybody's telling me I got to step out and do something by faith. I'm gonna do this, and I'm not sure. And then nothing happens, and you're like, I've never seen God move. Well, we gotta have faith. That's where the mustard seed comes in. It just takes a small amount for you to believe, for that to happen. Like Peter, man, he got out of the boat and he believed, and there he did. He walked. But wasn't too long before he started sinking. That one centurion, he was like, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And he's like, wow, okay, there you go. That's what it's doing. The word of God will help you in your faith. It'll grow your faith. You'll get to know God, and you'll be able to trust him no matter what goes on, no matter the result, no matter the circumstance. You'll know that he is there for you, and he's going to help you through, regardless of how his will comes out in the end. And that's the idea. The root is hearing the word of God. The reality is the object of your faith. You got to get to know Jesus. And lastly is the result. And this is the result. I think Susie talked about this last week. It always has to match up to the will of God. What is the result of your faith? What does biblical faith do? It matches you up with God's will. Faith is not getting man's will done in heaven. It's getting God's will done on earth. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' prayer says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has something that he needs to get accomplished, and the result of faith is God's will to be done on earth. So what is the result of faith? That you hear the will of God. God speaks, says, this is what I want you to do. Believe it and go do it. You can't have faith about anything that's not God's will. And this is a denial of, man, so many people just want to do this. That's what we talk about. It has to be according to his will. If it's not his will, it's not going to happen. So what prayer does is it aligns your will with his. That's what prayer does. It aligns your will with his. And here's the idea. Because if it doesn't align my will with God's, then he's my genie, and I'm telling God, this is what I want, you better do it. And this is where a lot of health, wealth, and prosperity preachers do it. and they take the Bible out of context because they take verses like this, Matthew 21, 22, and it says, whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive if you had faith. Well, there you go. Well, dadgum, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I want a Lamborghini right in the driveway. And I want it to be warm and have the frost off of it, and somebody's going to drive me to work. And boy, if I have enough faith, that's going to happen. I'm going to wake up and that'll happen, right? No. Why not? Because why would it be the Lord's will that happen? That doesn't align with God's will. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. I said, name it and claim it. Whatever you want, name it. God will give it to you. Okay, why is it that when preachers get on TV and they say, oh, you, God will bless you 1,000-fold. You give $1,000, God will give you 10,000 in return. And then what you have is a bunch of little old ladies that are bankrupt because they give all these people their money and then they don't have none coming in. Well, why would God bankrupt them? Well, you probably didn't align your prayers with God's will. You got to understand what the Bible says. John 14, 14, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is that true? All I have to do is just say, in Jesus' name, right? I get what I want? No, absolutely not. God will never go against his word. That's why you need to be saturated with the word of God. God will never go against his word. You match up God's word with God's word. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. There you go. It's got to be according to his will. I think sometimes we want our will to be done. And it doesn't work. I'm telling you, man, it's, I know those folks that love to proclaim all these stuff and things, and for me, we do what the Bible says, but you can't go against God's will. It doesn't happen. One of the purposes of praying is so that we can align our will with his will. And the more your faith grows, the more you will know about God, the more you will be in tune with what he wants. God has a will in heaven, and that's what Jesus said. Pray this, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want his will done, not ours. And so align your prayers more and more with his will. God speaks to everyone, but not everybody responds. And so this is the idea. God speaks to everybody. Not only through creation and conscience, but he does speak through his word to many different people. But if they don't respond, that's on them. Romans 10, 16 is talking about the Jews. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Remember Romans 10, 14, 15? How can they hear unless somebody be sent? And how can they be sent unless? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel, blah, 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 blah. And then verse 10, but they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? A lot of the Jews didn't believe. Unbelief comes not from the head, it comes from the heart. Remember that. Unbelief doesn't come from the head, it comes from the heart. Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. It's the heart that'll lead you astray. And this is where we have our problems today in Christianity. People have enough faith for God to save them, but not enough faith for God to work through them to get stuff done for him. We got to keep growing. Keep growing, get to know God. So if you want strong, victorious faith, let me give you four things and we'll close here. You want strong, victorious faith. Number one, be saturated with the Word of God. Be saturated with the Scriptures. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Colossians 3:16. What does that say? Oh, come on. That's one of my favorite verses. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be saturated with the word of God. That's the saturation verse. Colossians 3:16. Have that memorized by next week. I'm going to call you out on it. Be saturated with the word of God. Understand the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to know the word of God. Number two. Be dedicated to Jesus. Faith is no better than the object of your faith. Somebody said it this way. It's not so much a great faith in God as it is faith in a great God. It's not this great big faith you have in God. It is faith that you have in this great big God. He's powerful. It's the object of your faith. Make sure you know who he is. Be dedicated to Jesus. Number three, be separated. Separation of sin. Confess sin quickly. Don't sin. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Romans 10, verse 21. But of Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and a contrary people. They would not repent. Unconfessed sin is a faith killer. That'll destroy your faith. Unconfessed sin. We need to get rid of it. Don't be disobedient to the word of God and then expect this great faith. Unconfessed sin will destroy that faith. Make sure you're cleansed and washed. And then lastly, be activated. Be activated by the Holy Spirit, number four. He is the power behind everything. And that's part of John chapter 3, where Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you don't see it, but you see the effects of it. That's where we get the English word pneuma or pneumatics. Pneumonia, it all has to deal with air, air in motion. And so we talk about prayer. We go to God the Father in prayer through the blood of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the power by which things happen. In the Gospels, Jesus was empowered by the Spirit. And by the power, Jesus did this. By the power of the Spirit, he did that. And so when you are activated by the Spirit of God to do something for God, that is the power behind which God will work through you. You know the old hymn, Trust and Obey, right? Trust and obey. There's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, just trust and obey. Be activated by the Holy Spirit. And you have to be filled with the Spirit. Allow him to have control. Faith is belief with legs on it. Remember that. Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God stand firm and take action. Stand firm and take action. Questions? Where's the first place you go to start growing your faith? The Word of God. Get to know God. Once you get to know how big and awesome he is, your faith begins to grow, and then you put it to action. Yes? For certain circumstances and things, yeah. I mean, he has a plan, his timing. He'll reveal things in his timing.
I kind of like liken it to wringing my hands out in the desert. Like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm wringing my hands out in the desert to serve him, right? And I'm just wondering, will God leave you there to seek him forever?
He's not going to do that, but the thing is that don't stop doing what God wants you to do every day. And so when some people wait for an answer from God, they stop doing some of the other things that they're supposed to be doing, waiting on this answer, and this answer may come down the road. And God still needs you to do what you're supposed to do every day. And so we're to continue on doing what we're supposed to, but God will answer it in his timing. And I think sometimes, yeah, we wander around out in the wilderness and we're like, hey, answer my prayer. But he's wanting you to get back into doing what you're supposed to. It's like a lot of people in the Old Testament, they give up. Isaiah wanted to bless Esau, but he was tricked by Jacob, and Jacob got the blessing, and he's like, my eyes are dim, I can't see, I'm going to die, God's going to take me home. And he sat in his bed and did nothing for, if I'm correct, I think it's 38 years, if you add up the times. He did nothing for 38 years, just sat there, gave the blessing, passed it on. Story goes on to Jacob, and then 38 years later, Isaac dies. And you're like, hey, why didn't you do something? But yeah, we're to do what God wants us to do every day, continuing on. And while we're waiting on his answer, we keep getting back into daily routines. That's what Paul did in 2 Thessalonians, talking about the people waiting on the Lord to come back in the rapture. Man, they quit their jobs. They stopped working, stopped helping, stopped doing everything. It's like, don't do that. Continue on. Do your daily everything. Keep your devotions. Keep your prayer. Keep praying for other people. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. And then God will answer your specific prayer in his timing.